Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great nation that is about to become, we are told again and again and again and again, it's about to become a majority-minority nation. What the heck does that mean? That means that white people, so identified, will no longer represent the American majority. But what's wrong with that assumption? Why is it not either a disaster or a triumph necessarily for the United States of America? It's because these categories, black and white and Hispanic and Asian, are ridiculous. They are, as a piece says that is fascinating reading, idiotic. And we know that partially because of what George Will called perhaps the most consequential American book of 2022. It's a new book that I'm very eager to read. It is called Classified. And no, this has nothing to do with papers in President Biden's garage or President Trump's hotel. It's called Classified, The Untold Story of Racial Classification in America. The author is Professor David Bernstein, who has a university professorship chair at the Antonin Scalia Law School at George Mason University, where he's been teaching for more than 25 years. Professor Bernstein, it's great to meet you on the phone, and congratulations on a much-needed book.
Likewise, and thank you very much, Michael.
Okay, first of all, what happened is this huge mistake that we have in America of assuming that we are divided into black, white, Asian, Hispanic. That didn't just happen, and it hasn't always been the case. That started because of a government decision in 1977. Why?
So back in the 70s, the federal government was busy trying to enforce civil rights laws in education, in employment, in other contexts, in banking, and they found they couldn't really get the right data to do so because different federal agencies were defining the groups that they were tracking differently. So now called Hispanic. Some agencies were only tracking Mexicans. Some called it Spanish-speaking households or people with Spanish surnames or Latinos. They all used different words with different connotations, so you could, it was comparing apples and oranges. So I'm not really not really meaning to do anything more meaningful than this. Government bureaucrats got together and said, look, let's just figure out, for these purposes of keeping these statistics, singular definitions for the different groups, figure out what terms we want to use, how they're defined. We're going to tell everybody, and they did tell everybody, they're not supposed to be scientific or sociological, they're not supposed to be used for affirmative action or anything else. They're just for statistics keeping, and they're good enough for those purposes. We're not going to bother with getting experts. They really just did it in a very informal, haphazard way, trying to make things uniform, and then things just went crazy from there, basically.
Well, the one thing that struck me so forcefully reading your piece is how racist this is, because there's an assumption here that somehow if you are white, and white can be everything from Greek to Norwegian to Polish to South American, it's basically based on skin color. But there is no such thing as a universal white culture, is there? In other words, what's the significance of saying somebody is white?
You know, at the time in the 70s, there were some people who made exactly that point. They said, look, it doesn't make sense to just count everyone as white. There are all these subgroups, and many of whom had faced discrimination themselves, Italians, Catholics, and Jews, but they were sort of overridden, and they wound up with this category that really goes for everywhere from Iceland to Turkey to Azerbaijan to Morocco, people who really have nothing in common in any way, but basically they don't fit into one of the minority categories. The minority categories themselves are, you know, the Asian category we include now is Asian American. If your parents came from Pakistan or from the Philippines, these are two cultures that have nothing in common, don't even look alike, don't have the same religion, same culture. And it is really a reflection that ultimately when they were, like I said, sort of haphazardly making these classifications, since they didn't really think about it too much, I just went back and reestablished in a lot of ways the racist classifications we had basically back in the 1920s for immigration or the 19th century for interracial marriage and whatnot.
And the other thing about these classifications is particularly, well, it's actually among every racial group, the rates of intermarriage are so very high. I believe it's one-third fully of so-called Asian Americans who marry so-called white people. And then what do you have? Aren't we basically heading for a situation where there will be an overwhelming majority of Americans who count as mixed race?
I think we probably have a majority already, although a lot of people, if we include Hispanics, certainly a lot of people who have one Mexican grandparent don't normally think of themselves as Hispanic, but they're eligible to check the box if they want. But that's one of the really weird and arbitrary things. Back in the 70s when they made these classifications, they were really thinking in black-white terms. Most of it, this was before the huge wave of immigration from Latin America and Asia, so we mostly had black Americans and white Americans, and they had been very segregated throughout history, and they just assumed that segregation would continue and there'd be one, and that there would be different groups and just stay that way. And fortunately, at the grassroots level, we have incredible amounts of mixing. It is like 33% for Asians, but it's even higher for people who've been in the country for a generation or two. And we have a situation now where at the grassroots level, we're creating a multiracial, multicultural American identity that's not based on skin color or race. And we have an elite, the corporations, the government, the universities, who are dedicated to trying to put everyone into a singular box and defend the status quo.
Wow. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. I'm speaking to Professor David Bernstein of George Mason University, Antonin Scalia Law School. Will some of this be fixed if the Supreme Court, which is hearing decisions about the admissions policies of Harvard and University of North Carolina coming up, if, as expected, they basically say, hey, you just can't treat people differently based upon these arbitrary racial categories?
I think it will be an improvement if they do that. But what I was really heartened by in listening to the arguments in the case was really for the first time in any of these affirmative action cases, several of the justices asked questions, not just whether racial preferences are constitutionally permitted, but also whether the classifications we're using make any sense. Justice Alito, for example, asked, why should someone from China and someone from Afghanistan be put into the same classification? And I think, I'm hoping that that continues and the court will not just say you can't use these classifications for preference purposes, but the classifications themselves are entirely arbitrary, and you shouldn't be classifying people to begin with unless, number one, you have a really, really compelling interest, which is a legal standard for race generally in doing so, and number two, the classifications themselves make sense for what you're trying to accomplish.
Okay. Can you hang on for a few minutes more?
Sure.
Terrific. Because what I want to get to with Professor David Bernstein of George Mason University, he's the author of this new book, Classified, The Untold Story of Racial Classification in America. There's something that has been hidden by this racial classification and something very, very important about the black population in America. And this is the day after the Martin Luther King holiday. But it's something that almost nobody knows. And it's incredibly important. We will get to that and more with Professor David Bernstein. What do the classifications get wrong and just clearly wrong about people with the one drop of blood theory. That and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
You're listening to the Mighty Michael MedVet Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And on the Michael Medved Show, the book is called Classified, The Untold Story of Racial Classification in America. The whole term racial classification should make people uncomfortable because the idea of classifying people for different treatment based upon their racial background. I was talking with Professor David Bernstein, who wrote this book. He teaches constitutional law, evidence, and products liability at George Mason University Law School in Arlington, Virginia. And I mentioned before the break that there was a stunning figure about black Americans, which has the great virtue of actually being true, is that 20% of black people in America, that's one out of five, are either immigrants to this country themselves or children of immigrants, which means almost surely, well, in many cases, they were never enslaved. Doesn't this complicate any plan like the one that was announced yesterday in San Francisco for reparations based on skin color?
It surely does, and, you know, it gets even more complicated because, well, first of all, not only were many of the African immigrants and their descendants not historically enslaved, at least their ancestors weren't historically enslaved, some of them were the slavers, right? The slaves didn't appear magically in the ports of Western Africa. They were captured by slavers who were Africans themselves, so to the extent some of these folks are descended from elite members of society, their ancestors were likely the other side of things. But it also gets more complicated because, as I'm sure most listeners are aware, black people in the United States are not 100% African. Many have some Native American blood, a fair amount of white ancestry, and there, of course, we, because we're still sort of stuck in the one-drop rule situation, we still consider people like Kamala Harris or Barack Obama to be just black, but in fact they're mixed race, and we have, you know, the people who tend to be in the best position to, for example, get affirmative action programs tend to be these upwardly mobile immigrants and people who have one white parent or one white grandparent, and they're getting a very large percentage, a wildly disproportionate percentage of the admission slots of business contracts and so forth. So again, you know, if we're going to have racial classifications, they should be at least aimed at doing what they're meant to do. And if we're saying that primarily, look, we have this history of slavery and Jim Crow, people have been segregated, they're stuck in these segregated inner city school districts with high rates of poverty, those are the people we should be focused on helping. And instead, we're going by skin color and ancestry, racial ancestry, and we're helping people who are have potentially a majority of white ancestry but have enough black ancestry to be called black, or even more likely people who are recent immigrants and their children.
This, by the way, yesterday on the Dr. King holiday, we spoke to Ben Jealous, who is a former head nationally of the NAACP. And he's also a cousin, he's a blood relative of Robert E. Lee. Because his father is from an old Southern slave-owning family, and his wife is mixed race, and yet Ben has that one-drop idea. Now, of course, that makes you think of Nazis, who counted you as Jewish if you had one-eighth Jewish ancestry. How did we get stuck with that in the United States, that if somebody is even one small portion related to someone of who once spoke Spanish, that they can count as a minority, or again people like Ben Jealous. Now he cannot affiliate any way he chooses to, and he chooses to identify as black. But isn't this a strange thing to be looking at bloodlines so closely?
Well, the way I understand it, as I explain in the book, really we have to go back to the 1950s. That's when the federal government for the first time started imposing obligations on government contractors like defense companies not to discriminate. And they asked them to fill out a form saying we don't discriminate, and by the way, we'll list what minority employees we have to prove we're not discriminating. Now, back in the 50s, unlike today, no one ever asked anybody to check a box. it was considered at best rude to ask someone their race or ethnicity or religion, and at worst, it was illegal in many states to ask because it was seen as discriminatory. So if you're a government contractor and the government wants you to say, like, who we have of different minority groups, you can't really, you don't know who's Catholic or who's Jewish or who's Italian necessarily, but you can look around and say, oh, this person looks Black, this person looks Mexican, this person looks, in those days they would say Oriental, Asian. So those became the categories that the civil rights agencies focused on, not because there was any real rationale to it, just because it was for bureaucratic convenience. It was only the visible minorities who we could see. Once those classifications morphed into self-identification, and we had the same Black, Hispanic, Asian, Native American categories, well, now we're not looking anymore. Anyone could put it down based on if they fit the definition. So Black is defined as anyone who is descended from one of the Black races of Africa. Hispanic is defined as anyone who is of Hispanic origin. That doesn't say there's any limit that it has to be one parent or one grandparent. It could be anything. So as long as you identify that way, that's fine. Now, back in the 70s, it may very well have been that there were such social disadvantages to claiming minority status that people wouldn't do so lightly, so there wasn't really a concern. But now we have what I call identity entrepreneurs, people who may be socially white, may look European, and other people may think of them as being white, but when it comes time to apply for college or for a government loan or whatever, they check the minority box because they do have some vague minority ancestry.
What about the idea of the white race and white privilege? Are you as discomfited by the term white privilege as I am?
Look, I think on the one hand, there's no question that in some situations in life, you're better off in America. Like if a cop stopped you, I'd rather be a white person than a Black person. Just on the average, doesn't mean every cop is racist, but the idea that this overwhelms everything else about people is what I really object to. People have all sorts of privilege. I had the privilege of growing up with two loving, caring parents, which a lot of people don't have. Some people have the privilege of being born beautiful. Some people have the privilege of being born brilliant. Some people have the privilege of being born with natural athletic talent and so forth. And it turns out if you look at the statistics, all the groups that we talk about have extremely wide variations of subgroups within them, showing that skin color and race isn't the most important thing. So Greek Americans, for example, who are white by official decree, have very high levels of education and income, but Appalachian whites, who are a very large population, mostly Scotch-Irish, are near the bottom of all statistics you might want to think of. We already mentioned Black American descendants of slaves tend not to do so well overall, but African immigrants are doing quite well, especially ones from Nigeria. We think of Asians as being very successful on average. That's true of Chinese and Indians and Koreans and Japanese, but we look at Cambodians and Burmese and Malaysians and Filipinos are not doing as well.
This is all so fascinating and it's so important. David Bernstein, appreciate the conversation. The book Classified. We'll be right back.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yeah. USA News update. The husband of missing Massachusetts mom, Anna Walsh, is now facing murder charges in her disappearance. Brian Walsh, who's already being held, is seeing his charges upgraded. He was initially arrested for lesser charges after cops searched their home where they allegedly found a bloody knife and cleaning supplies. The White House urging Congress to quickly raise the nation's debt limit to keep the U.S. from eventually defaulting on payments.
Congress must deal with the debt limit and must do so without conditions.
Those conditions that White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is referring to include Republican moves to use the debt ceiling as a way to force cuts in social programs. The relentless rains that have hit California for the last 3 weeks are finally beginning to wind down. A federal major disaster declaration has been issued to help in a state where storms have turned roads into rivers, neighborhoods into lakes, and forced thousands of people from their homes. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The Michael Medved Show.
It's powerful and inspiring.
And on the Michael Medved Show, Fox News is reporting that Sheila Jackson Lee, the Democratic representative from Houston, Texas, has introduced a brand new sweeping bill to combat white supremacy. There goes your racial classifications again. How is that going to combat white supremacy, which no one should favor any more than they would favor black supremacy or Asian supremacy or anything using the racial classifications we just were trashing for a couple of segments. Okay. Her bill, and I haven't read it yet, it's a long bill apparently and a very sweeping bill because it wanted to make it a criminal offense to use certain forms of hate speech. After the ill-fated attempt by the Biden administration to monitor American speech online, Jackson Lee introduced the Leading Against White Supremacy Act. That's LAWSA, I guess, if you play it, leading, A-W-S, or LAWS, Leading Against White Supremacy Laws Act of 2023 to assign criminal punishment for certain forms of hate speech. The bill's language is broad and could result in people facing criminal charges for sharing hateful content, including on social media. Do you think that this bill is likely to pass the House of Representatives? I do not. And I don't think it should become law or will. Speaking of hate speech, there was a little bit of an edge to some comments made by President Trump. He was on the air on One America's Network, Real America's Voice, and President Trump was asked about Ron DeSantis and didn't seem entirely ready to embrace the governor of Florida. Listen, this clip 10.
I got him elected, pure and simple. He would have never, if I said I wasn't going to endorse you, and I was, well, you know, there was no reason to go wild about endorsing him. He was very nice in the sense of the Mueller hoax. You know, he was one of about 100 congressmen who fought for me. And so, you know, I felt I might as well endorse him because I didn't know Adam Putnam. But he was a three. He was ready to drop out of the race. It was all done. Adam Putnam had that nomination locked up, you know, the Republican nomination for governor of Florida. He had it locked up. It was done. And when I, as Adam Putnam said to me when I met him a year later, I didn't know him at all, but I saw him. He said it was like a nuclear bomb went off, a nuclear weapon went off when you endorsed him. And the race was over. He said he didn't even spend his money. There was no way he could have beaten him after I endorsed him. So, you know, now I hear he might want to run against me. So we'll handle that the way I handle things.
The way he handles things. Okay. Okay, but Adam Putnam was somebody who lost in the primary against Governor DeSantis. Before he was Governor DeSantis, he was still Congressman DeSantis, and that was 2018 when he was first elected. And he, President Trump, you'll note, did not talk about his really astonishing Florida victory, where he won in what used to be a swing state by about 20 points. Trump also had some things to say about some prominent evangelicals who he believes are guilty of disloyalty. Disloyalty to the faith? Well, disloyalty to a faith. Listen.
When you announce your candidacy, at least as it stands now, some of these prominent evangelical leaders who backed you last time, they're not yet willing to commit, like Robert Jeffress is not, some others. It seems like many of them are waiting to see how the field takes shape before backing anyone. What is your message to them?
Well, I don't really care. Look, that's a sign of disloyalty. There's great disloyalty in the world of politics, and that's a sign of disloyalty because nobody, as you know, and you would know better than anybody because you do such a great job, nobody has ever done more for right to life than Donald Trump. There's nobody that's done more for the movement than I have, and that includes the movement of evangelicals and Christians and the movement very much of right to life.
Okay, disloyalty? Disloyalty because they're not willing to endorse a candidate for president before they know who's running? I mean, it seems to me that's a little bit presumptuous on the president's side of things. There is, speaking about presumptuous, this is an unbelievable story, and I thought it was a parody, but it's not. It's a piece posted by John Sexton in Hot Air, and he says, San Francisco's Board of Supervisors created the African American Reparations Advisory Committee, ARAC, back in December of 2020. The committee is putting forth a draft proposal of recommendations, which include financial reparations for black residents, including a lump sum payment of $5 million. That's not a mistake. It's not an exaggeration. It's $5 million for each eligible person. ARAC calls for one-time lump sum reparations payments of $5 million to each eligible recipient. This is the language of the proposal. The amount could cover the economic and opportunity losses that black San Franciscans have endured collectively as the result of both intentional decisions and unintended harms perpetuated by city policy. And in order to, qualify for those $5 million lump sums? An individual who has identified as black, African American on public documents for at least 10 years. You must meet at least two criteria from the following list. Must have supporting documentation. Born in San Francisco between 1940 and 1996. And have proof of residency in San Francisco for at least 13 years. Or migrated to San Francisco between 1940 and 1996 and has proof of residency for at least 13 years. But this isn't all. So you must be at least an adult who is identified as black for at least 10 years. There's more. The $5 million payment would go to those who qualify is just one of many of the proposals that are listed under the heading Economic Empowerment. There's also a recommendation for supplementary income for black households that would last for 250 years. Now, that means for you and your children and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-great-great, they're not joking. 1.2, we will supplement African-American income of lower-income households to reflect the area median income annually for at least 250 years. So they could extend this to give special status to black residents and black citizens for 2.5 centuries? The rationale is that racial disparities across all metrics have led to a significant racial wealth gap in the city of San Francisco. By elevating income to match the area median income, black people can better afford housing and achieve a better quality of life. We will also finance a comprehensive debt forgiveness program that clears all educational, personal, credit card, and payday loans. No, they're serious. Rationale, black households are more likely to hold costlier, riskier debt and are more likely to have outstanding student loan debt. With this is combined with lower household incomes, it can create an inescapable cycle of debt. So they propose that the government of San Francisco will pay for it. They have to say nothing about how this would be paid for. We will be right back.
The Michael Medved Show.
That is really extreme.
Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Medved Show.
And there are lots and lots of environmental issues that are of real concern to people, but there are very few environmental issues that hit big cities harder than the homeless encampments and having people leaving their bodily wastes, their discarded injection needles, their trash, their dead animals, you name it. Could be near where you live. Or where you're trying to run a business. And they had a unique way in Austin that they tried at a 7-Eleven store to clear away the collection of campers who were making their homes right around the store. So they had this idea, which again has been tried elsewhere. Somewhere it's been successful. Of playing opera music. I assume they're playing opera music that isn't immediately hummable or likable. Wagner would do well. But yeah, not the Magic Fire music or the Ride of the Valkyries. Going into one of Wotan's long meditations, something. In any event, they tried this in Austin, Texas. How'd it go? Listen.
Playing classical music loudly, nonstop, for almost 2 weeks. Well, someone sent us a tip to report it at KXAN.com to tell us about this 7-Eleven on Old Torf, a little east of I-35. The person who sent us the tip and the people living nearby and nearby tents believe that this is an effort to keep those experiencing homelessness away.
I mean, nobody likes it. I mean, nobody likes the music because it's going all night, and, you know, I feel maybe they do it to try to run us off because you can hear it all night. It plays all night, all day.
Former city council candidate Daniela Silva and her campaign manager Jessica Cohen live in the area. They, along with other neighbors, are also annoyed with the music.
I can hear the music before I even got to the 7-Eleven, annoying this early in the morning. Not that I don't love classical music, but this is just rude.
Unfortunately, these kind of tactics are not new or original. This specific tactic to keep people away from properties has been used in cities across the United States.
And around the world. And by the way, the people in Austin are doing it more intelligently, because if you are talking about classical music in general, instrumental music people can get to like. It really can be hummable and approachable and actually bring people closer. The kind of coloratura soprano opera music that they're playing, imagine if you were hearing it literally 24 hours a day, which they're trying. What I do not get from this report is how successful they were in actually getting a break from some of the surrounding campers who may not be opera lovers. There's also, speaking of opera lovers, I don't know how you connect this, but George Santos could be an opera all his own. I mean, the rise and fall of George Santos, and I suspect that though he actually has a fairly high-pitched voice, he ought to be a baritone, someone like that. But Speaker McCarthy had some encouraging words for the embattled new congressman from Long Island. Listen, clip 9.
I never know all about his resume or not, but I always had a few questions about it.
What about the campaign pretending to be your chief of staff in solicitation?
You know, I didn't know about that. It happened, and I know they corrected, but I was not notified about that till a later date.
Did you speak to him about it at all?
Yeah, I didn't know about it till a later date, though, unfortunately.
Okay, and he has said now, he's taken the position that he will do committee assignments for George Santos. And, of course, you want something where there's an area of expertise. So I'm sure that George Santos has aspirations to be on the ethics committee, right? And then there's the issue of gas stoves. And the issue of gas stoves, it seems to me, is a strong Republican issue. Most people, including the 40% of Americans who have gas stoves, do not want a new government program to take them out of your home. But Joe Scarborough doesn't think it's worthwhile defending your right to have stoves with gas burners in them. This is clip 7.
They lost the election.
Okay.
But
yes.
They lost the election. They lost the election. They got beaten in the Senate.
We know that.
Instead of Kevin McCarthy's prediction of 60 House seats,
the red wave.
They didn't get the red wave. You look at how every governor in Biden's party, I mean, you have to go back to 1934. For a party to do as badly as the Republican Party did here across the nation. And they keep trying this stuff. I'm here as a friend telling them.
You're no friend.
Grow the blank
to these
up.
People.
Grow up. You need to start winning elections again. Grow up.
Okay, but it's not a sign of immaturity to be concerned about invasions of people's freedom of choice to live their lives when there is not yet. And by the way, there are many Democrats who've even conceded this. Yeah, the government has better things to do and more important things in terms of curbing the possibilities of climate change than focusing on gas stoves. This and the idea, by the way, that Republicans did worse than any party since 1934. What he's talking about is those situations where it's 2 years after a new president has taken power, the opposition party usually wins 28 seats. The Republicans won 4 seats. 5 seats, actually. I mean, if you count George Santos. Meanwhile, counting a very long, very epic movie that many people have been waiting for 13 years. And it's a movie that's already made $2 billion by today. What is it? Avatar. The Way of Water. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
13 years after the first Avatar film became a box office and critical champion, the saga continues, with some members of the human race now joining the blue-skinned and long-tailed non-long-V in defending their extrasolar moon, Pandora, against the depredations of earthly colonizers and exploiters in Avatar, The Way of Water.
The Way of Water connects all things.
This is our home!
I need you with me. I need you to be strong.
The artful and spectacular computer-generated animation, along with recreations of a lavish array of otherworldly beasts, make for a visual feast, but the melodramatic and two-dimensional plot is undermined by an intrusive and ear-splitting musical score based on themes by the late James Horner. It's rated PG-13 for endless scenes of pursuit and combat. 3 stars for the visually stunning but emotionally inert Avatar, The Way of Water.
And on the Michael Medved Show, next time, there's a big new study that shows that one of the main connections with the deaths of despair that are afflicting middle-aged white people across the country has to do with the decline of religious participation. Really? We'll talk about that study and what it says and indicates. And what if diversity trainings are doing more harm than good? They might even make things worse. And speaking of diversity, there's a plea in USA Today. They ask, is it time to stop saying aloha and other culturally insensitive words out of context? Mahalo. Now, thank you for that. Meanwhile, there was a fellow, when you talk about culturally insensitive, who came to Mall of America in Minnesota, and he was wearing a T-shirt that said, Jesus Saves. And a security guard demanded he take off the shirt. This is February, and not yet, it's January in Minnesota, that he take off the shirt or leave the mall. What about freedom of expression? We will get to that and to a stunning new poll that has trial heats for the presidency for 2024 between Trump and Biden and between DeSantis and Biden. Who does how? We'll get to that and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Enough already! Enough!
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.